Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I am not against women. I am not against women working outside the home. But what I am against is the women's liberation movement. Who the hell is Phyllis Schlafly? We need to get the word out quickly. We want the right to be a mother, the right to be a wife. The libbers want to create a sex-neutral feminist totalitarian nightmare.
Do you know what you're saying has no basis in fact?
Our movement is about fighting the oppression of all women.
We do not want housewives thinking that we are against them.
We are against them.
Revolutions are messy.
That's an excerpt from the Hulu TV series Mrs. America. It is Hollywood's send-up of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, the life and work of Phyllis Schlafly is certainly of historical note, but why does Hollywood, now 40 years after she led the movement to overcome the Equal Rights Amendment, why does Hollywood insist on rewriting her history? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the Hulu series, Mrs. America. Anne Schlafly Corey joins us. She's a daughter of the late Phyllis Schlafly and chairman of Eagle Forum. And welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, for having me on your show.
What do you remember most about growing up as a daughter of Phyllis Schlafly?
Well, it was incredibly exciting. The house was a hub of activity because my mother's office was in our house. She worked from home, and so the phones were always ringing. There was always activity. There were things happening, and I remember it as being very exciting because I felt like I had a front row seat to what it means to amend the U.S. Constitution. And I traveled with her to Springfield, Illinois, where there were rallies and debates, and it was quite a time.
Did you ever watch her appearances on television, like her appearances on The Phil Donahue Show?
I did, because back then in the 1970s, it was rather unusual to have a tape recorder for video, a VCR. My memory is that we had one of the first models, and my job was to tape all of her TV performances because that was the only way we could get a copy of it. So I watched them all, and my mother was a master debater who kept her cool in any kind of confrontational situation, and I learned a great deal from her.
Why do you think that there's a revived push for the Equal Rights Amendment?
There's only one reason they're trying to bring back this dead amendment, and that is abortion. The left is very worried that the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court will chip away at Roe v. Wade, and they want to shoehorn the Equal Rights Amendment into the Constitution as a way to ensure abortion rights if Roe v. Wade were ever to fall or be overturned by the Supreme Court. And this connection between the Equal Rights Amendment and abortion was something that was much discussed during the 1970s. And the proponents of the amendment fully state today that that is a purpose of ratifying, of trying to ratify this amendment and put it in the Constitution. But of course, ratifying it late today does not give the American people the opportunity to have a full-throttled debate on the merits of this amendment, because they're trying to tack on the votes of today with votes made nearly 50 years ago. And if they really do want to amend the Constitution, it should be done the proper way, through the way established by the Constitution, which is a supermajority of the American people wanting to amend the Constitution. And I don't think that's possible today because of this amendment has so many implications across the board.
Were you or your family or anyone at Eagle Forum contacted to consult on this Hulu television series, Mrs. America?
No, of course not. I made many attempts to contact them and to involve myself in what they were doing, but they had no desire to present any kind of historical accuracy. They had a desire to present their vision of what happened in the 1970s. In fact, the producer has bragged that she didn't want to be influenced by members of Phyllis Schlafly's family. She had her own story to tell.
Why do you think Hollywood is particularly hostile toward your mother's legacy?
I think they are proponents of the liberal ideology. And since my mother was a conservative woman, that presents a threat to liberal ideology. You see, liberals, they talk a great game about diversity, but they're only interested in superficial diversity. They're not interested in diversity of ideas. And they want to say that all women should think alike. Well, women are human beings, and women shouldn't be objectified into say that they all think alike. We have different opinions. And the idea of a conservative woman who led a movement of millions of conservative women is a threat to feminism.
Why did your mother oppose feminism, the sexual revolution, and in particular, the Equal Rights Amendment?
Well, I think ultimately my mother's core beliefs informed every political decision that she made. So my mother's core beliefs was her faith in God and Jesus Christ as her Savior. And from that came all of her political beliefs, in that men and women are biologically different, they're created different in the sight of God, and because of these differences, they should be celebrated and not erased. And so she saw the threats of the Equal Rights Amendment in that it would make us into a sex-neutral society where men and women are interchangeable in every situation. And if that were to ever happen, women would be harmed. And so she saw ERA and feminism in an attempt to overturn the fundamental differences, the God-given differences in the biology of men and women. And that's why she was opposed to it, and that's why she fought so hard for it. And fundamentally, she thought it was doomed to failure because you cannot change God's design for men and women.
So tell us about your mother and her successful efforts to defeat the Equal Rights Amendment more than 40 years ago. How does the story really go, regardless of what people will be seeing on Hulu?
It's really a fabulous story, because here you have someone from a small town, Alton, Illinois, in the middle of flyover country, and she started an organization to oppose a constitutional amendment that was supported by three presidents, both the Republican and Democratic Party platforms, the media, Hollywood, and the whole popular culture was in favor of the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment in the early 1970s. But she understood that this was a threat to the women that she knew, that is, the homemakers, the women who went to church regularly, the women who cared about their marriage and families. And what she did was she started a grassroots organization. She really started the pro-family movement by activating women who had never been active in the political sphere before. She gave them the tools and the information for them to go out and lobby their state legislators, for them to get active in the political sphere at the local and state level, to get active on school boards. And this kind of activism really fostered a new kind of movement that hadn't been seen before, because these women hadn't been politically active before. And it is because of her activism and finding these new voters and new people to get involved that Ronald Reagan was able to win election in 1980. He rode this movement to his political victory.
contrast your mother's tactics with the tactics of, at the time, the ERA supporters.
Well, there's a huge contrast, and the contrast is between happiness and joy versus bitterness and angriness, because the ERA supporters were violent and angry. And yes, my mother was the target of violence. She got a pie thrown in her face. The supporters got pig's blood and defaced the capital of Springfield, Illinois, with pig's blood all over the marble staircase, writing in blood the names of the people they detested. The marches were full of anger and vitriol, and they went around advocating that people do physical violence to my mother. And I think that kind of anger ultimately hurt their cause, because if you had the choice to be on the side of someone who is joyful and optimistic and always with a smile on her face, or to be on the side of someone who is obnoxious, it's much easier to tell your story.
So, Anne, your mother appeared to have been able to see very clearly the consequences of the Equal Rights Amendment, even when it was in its nascent form. How would the ERA have harmed women had it actually been ratified?
The proponents of ERA attempted to sell it on a feel-good, let's give women equal rights, this will be equal pay type of argument. But the amendment actually says nothing about women. So if you just read the amendment and look at the clear language in the amendment, it does not put women in the Constitution. It puts sex in the Constitution. So my mother did the logical thinking of, well, what does sex mean? And how does this change? And what is the benefit to women? Because putting sex in the Constitution is a much greater effect on our laws. It does not, and ultimately would give no benefit to women, because sex has so many other meanings. And she was very early on to explain how this would harm the most vulnerable among us, whether it be girls in athletics or being subject to military draft. And she talked about the connection with abortion, because you wouldn't be able to make any distinction on government paying of medical treatments. And then also, of course, for rights of homosexuals and same-sex marriage was one of the key arguments in the 1970s about it. And today, taking this argument about sex and making no distinction on the basis of sex, we have an argument that wasn't even conceived of in the 1970s, which are rights for transgenders, for men who pretend to be women and want to have access places that are safe spots for women. So ultimately, there are tremendous harms for women when there is no distinction on the basis of sex.
Why do you think that cultural and political elites still support the Equal Rights Amendment more than 40 years after it was defeated?
I think what we see in this show that's being put out by Hollywood and what we see in the cultural elites is they feel that they got defeated and they lost one in the 70s, and they're determined to win it back and show that conservative women's voices are not to be heard. But I do think that abortion is a primary goal for them. I think the movie actually shows quite clearly how strong a feeling that abortion rights is for the proponents of ERA, and I think that's the key to understanding this effort to bring it back today.
I interviewed your mother many times over the last two decades. She was able to anticipate, especially in her books, many of the problems that the sexual revolution has created in America. How was she able to see ahead and see those consequences?
Well, Phyllis Schlafly was quite prescient in so many ways. And I think because she used logical reasoning to say that if you're not going to have any distinction on the basis of sex, then this is the logical result of it. And at the time, they called her a fearmonger, that she was painting a picture of things that couldn't, that rational people wouldn't accept. And how could she even say such things? And it turns out today, 40 years later, we have many of the things that she predicted because she just logically followed the outcome of what happens when you abolish any distinction on the basis of sex. And, you know, she was much pilloried in the 70s for people. Her opponents wanted to paint her as some kind of extremist. But nothing she ever said was extremist. It was always fact-based and logic-based.
How do you think your mother would react to Hollywood's latest attempt to rewrite her own history?
I think she would use it as an opportunity to get her message across. Because after all, most of people were not paying attention or not around in the 1970s to understand all of the issues that were so hotly debated at that time. Well, these issues have not gone away. They're still hotly debated today. Feminism is still presented as a good avenue for women to pursue. Unfortunately, feminism, the purpose of it is to treat women as victims and to say that women are oppressed. And the ideology of my mother and why I think it's so important to get this message out is that women today can do anything they want, and they should not blame somebody else for their not succeeding because they have the ability to succeed. And her message was to say a great deal of women's success today can come from making a successful marriage and a family, and never discount the lifetime of happiness that can come from prioritizing your family in your life. And that was her message to women, and it resonated. And I think what, unfortunately, what you get in this Hollywoodization is that they present my mother as in an unhappy marriage. Nothing could be further from the truth. Her greatest source of her happiness was her family, and because she had that core of security, she was able to go out in the world and make her mark on the world. And that is the role model that women can learn from today. And I see what we have today, an opportunity to present this vision in contrast to the popular culture that is out there today. And isn't it beautiful? Because this show has given me an opportunity to be on your show and explain the vision of Phyllis Schlafly, and I'm grateful for that.
Ann Schlafly Corey is daughter of the late Phyllis Schlafly and chairman of Eagle Forum. You'll find a link to Eagle Forum at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Ann, thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Many thanks for having me on your show.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about repentance in a time of pandemic. We'll discuss some vaccines and aborted fetal tissue with Dr. Gifford Grobian and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.